correctly with the correct amount.
D20 Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com.
Welcome to Me and Steve Talk RPGs, a podcast where me and my friend Steve try and help you get the most out of your role-playing game experience.
Hey folks, what's up? Welcome back to Me and Steve Talk RPGs. I'm Steve.
And I'm Steve.
Over there, Steve. Yes. And we're going to talk about some RPG stuff, because that's what we do. We'll probably talk about other things too, because that's also what we do.
Yeah.
Before we get into
that, tends to happen.
It does. Before we get into whatever rambly discussion we have today, I want to take a moment to talk to you about another podcast here on the D20 Radio Network, that being Eberron Renewed. Now, as you might guess from the title, they are an actual play podcast that plays in the world of Eberron.
Yeah, they're some really cool people with Eberron Renewed, and one of my favorite settings. So to hear them play it, and in Genesis of all things.
Yeah, well, as I said, campaign one was in 5th edition D&D. Campaign two has been in Genesis, and I met up. I didn't really get to talk to him that much, but I did talk with Eric, the GM from there, a little bit at Gamer Nation Con, and they are actually going to do campaign three in a system of his own design. So cool. You know, I don't know much beyond that, but that is at least as of a month ago, the plan. So, but they're quite deep. I don't know how much longer they intend to run with campaign two, but I know they're quite a ways into it. And the role play is really good. The characters are great. Eric's a great storyteller. And like you said, it's just an awesome setting in the first place. And they're very, very big fans of Eberron in general, so they do it very, very well. So, that being said, I thought maybe we could have a talk around something that kind of came up in our Discord server this past week. And that was a post about someone basically kind of going off about dungeons and how they don't like doing dungeon crawls. And it spawned some interesting discussion back and forth, and some of it went to kind of system directions, and others of it went kind of playstyle directions. And there were some really interesting points brought up all the way around. But I wonder, you know, I'll just ask you, Steve, where do you fall on, do you like playing dungeon crawls?
Not particularly. I'm not the dungeon crawl person. There was a point in time where I did really enjoy them. It doesn't do it for me anymore. And I feel like as I've sort of grown as an RPG player, I look more towards wanting to do something narrative, wanting to do something more story-driven. And so dungeon crawls don't... I mean, there's something to be said for a fun dungeon crawl, but for the most part, dungeon crawls don't do it for me anymore.
Mm-hmm. I feel similarly, I think. Especially if we're talking the kind of classic clear the room, check for loot, clear the next room, check for loot, kind of that style of dungeon crawl. That is, yeah.
I mean, yeah. And, you know, I don't know. In my opinion, if I want to do something like that, I'll play Munchkin.
Well, I think so. There's a couple of things here. I think one, like you mentioned, as you've grown as a player, that style of play has become less attractive.
Yeah.
And I think it's... So I understand part of, I think, how it got started, right? Because if you look at, you know, how RPGs started in as we know them anyway, you know, with chainmail and early Dungeons & Dragons, they grew out of basically tactical war games. And so you basically scale down a technical encounter to put it on a personal level. And instead of a battlefield, it's now a dungeon. And I get that, right? Like it makes sense in that regard. And at some point early on, I think when you were first learning to play, well, kill the monsters and take their stuff sounds like fun. And it can be. And every now and then it is fun to just do a good old fashioned, you know, raffle stomp through a dungeon. But I think, like you mentioned, it usually seems to lack story.
Yeah, there's usually it's usually a undefined, like not undefined, but loosely defined reason why you're going in to stomp the monsters out and leave. And it's 9 times out of 10 in most dungeon crawls, it's going to get a thing, do another dungeon crawl, to do another, you know, another job. And the fact of it is that, I don't know, maybe if I had more stakes to a dungeon crawl, like I would enjoy it more. But for the most part, what I get out of people that have run dungeon crawls for me has been like, well, go in there to get the thing and get better armor and get better loot. And, you know, sometimes that's not narratively fulfilling, because my character isn't, you know, necessarily, maybe I have a character that's built around that, but my characters aren't necessarily interested in the best gear.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder a couple of things here. But I wonder too, like, is overuse of dungeon crawls kind of what gives rise to the shenanigan culture? And by that, what I'm saying is, you're in a dungeon. There's not a lot of story going on. So to amuse ourselves, and I'm using the royal we here, not you and I specifically, do we start doing silly, goofy stuff just to have a level of amusement and engagement beyond tactical combat or traps or whatever?
I think I've definitely done that. I've definitely been the guy that's like, oh, well, if I can't be entertained, I'm going to make something entertaining for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I definitely feel like, I feel like my train of thought just walked off. Thoughts, Steve?
Well, I mean, I think it, in a way it does, right? Because you're playing your character. Well, because you don't have social interactions or interactions with the grander world, you don't have necessarily the, call it the moral conflicts, whatever, that you might if you're doing stuff in a city, we'll say. I think what we've kind of, many of us do, is we take goofiness to become the character's personality, because that's the only thing we can show in that context. You know what I mean? Like we're clearing a dungeon, so I can be goofy and weird because, well, I can't be, you know, shifty and deceitful, because most of the time in a dungeon you're fighting critters, right? I mean, you might occasionally have, you know, an encounter with something that is sentient and more than, you know, bugbears or trolls or whatever, but so I think that has, in an effort to quote unquote roleplay, I think sometimes that's where the shenanigans happen. And look, shenanigans are great fun. We've mm-hmm. had lots of fun with shenanigans, but I think too many shenanigans becomes not fun either after a certain point.
Right. I agree. I think if you're being too silly, it's going to detract from the entire experience.
Right.
And I feel the opposite is true as well. If you're too serious, a lot of the times it's going to detract from the entire experience. Like, there's games that demand to be taken seriously, but there should be moments of breath in between serious nature.
Oh, absolutely. I wonder too, though, if some of this, if you want to call it backlash against classic dungeon crawls, is also due to technology. You know, like, if you want a classic dungeon crawl, and it can be skinned in any number of ways, that's a whole nother discussion in of itself, but how many video games can you just load up and go clear the dungeon in? You know what I mean? Well, like,
yeah, I mean, the whole point of, like, Diablo is that, though, you know, yeah, there's a lot of video games that's their whole point. And there, I mean, there's nothing a lot wrong of the Zelda with that. Games. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. However, I still feel like even though it's not for me, I still feel like there are people out there who enjoy to roleplay a dungeon crawl rather than just play a video game of it.
Oh, I'm sure there are. And look, the act of sitting down around a table, be it virtual or otherwise, with friends to do a thing together is inherently different. You know, I've said it on the show. I said it in the discussion on our Discord channel this week about, you know, the reason I like to play role-playing games, tabletop role-playing games, is because I can do the thing if I can imagine it, or I can attempt the thing if I can imagine it. Can't necessarily pull it off. And for me, I can't get that same fix or that same satisfaction playing a video game because it's limited by the coding.
Right.
You know, so in that context, the classic kill monster, get loot, rinse, repeat dungeon crawl, I can get that same satisfaction pretty much playing a video game for me. Like you said, if that's the thing that anyone out there likes, good for them. I'm not, you know, trying to say that their fun isn't fun. But, you know, I've heard this idea that dungeon crawls suck. I've heard that a lot on various, you know, discords throughout the RPG community. And you see it on, you know, Facebooks and whatever else. You know, and I wonder if some of that is that they are limiting and a lot of people are going to RPGs because they're a lot lower limit than computer games, you know? And so, like, going to a dungeon crawl is once again putting limits on that. And that was actually a point that Brett brought up on the Discord, that from a game design perspective, and sometimes for specifically for new players, and again, this also goes back to, you know, why are there so many published dungeon crawls? Well, because, and he brought this point up and I hadn't thought of it, dungeon crawls can be very good for new players because, like you've mentioned, with some systems, leveling up, if you've got too many choices, is very daunting for you.
Right.
Well, Brett was basically saying the same thing applies to, or can apply to, gaming in general. And so a dungeon crawl, in a sense, can be very good for new players to kind of get their feet under them as how this all works, because it's much more of a focused track, and so they can get their bearings before they're like, oh, you can do anything.
Well, I think another thing that a dungeon crawl really does well, and especially for new players, something that new players can really struggle with is combat and learning what works with what and learning synergies and learning how to work with their teammates. A dungeon crawl being room after room after room of either combat or puzzles really helps solidify the mechanics of, I'll say it, especially D&D. Running somebody through a dungeon crawl in something like 5th edition or Advanced Dungeons and Dragons or any of the D&D versions, except for maybe 4th, really solidifies, in especially a new player's mind, how turns work, how initiative works, how combat and movement works, what different spells can do, what different moves can do. It helps, you know, somebody who's not necessarily familiar can get familiarized really quickly. And I think that's one of the big reasons why those systems, you know, work the way they do and were built the way they do, is to, you know, onboard people into that world. And then the people that had been playing it forever ended up, sort of like we did, expanding out of the dungeon crawl, wanting to do more open-ended stories, wanting to do more with what the system was giving. And that's why we see a lot more of, like, the more modern style of role-playing, where it's, you know, it's more narrative and combats are bigger, but they're not more frequent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think too, how do I want to say this? And, you know, look, I'm not a game designer, you know, or a creative in that regard, but I feel like it's probably also easier to write for publication something that is more of a dungeon crawl than something that is heavily narrative. Because a dungeon crawl to me is a very statistical progression, where narratives, a narrative story relies heavily on players do thing to advance plot.
Right.
Well, we've talked about it before. You know, as a GM, if you plan out, well, they could do this, they could do this, they could do that, and you have, you know, five or six different things that you think they might do, inevitably, they discuss six completely different plans and then go to plan eight that wasn't part of the six they discussed, none of which had anything to do with the ones you thought of. And I would imagine trying to write a heavily narrative campaign for publication is going to be just flat out a whole lot more difficult. And especially to do it in a way that doesn't feel railroady. You know what I mean? Like a dungeon crawl is going to feel railroady. It is. I mean, that's, but you know what I'm saying? Does that make any sense?
Yes. Yeah, dungeon crawl can help not make things feel so on rails.
All right, but you know what I'm saying, as far as like, if you're a company looking to publish an adventure, a heavily narrative story, well, the other thing is, bluntly put, I've been there, I know. If you go to a game store and you pick up a book and it's all text and very little stat blocks, you're like, well, what do I need this for? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, if you've got and a more narrative heavy story is going to be a lot more text and a lot less stat block. And because it's more narrative, it's going to be harder to write it as a full flow, where I think like if you're GMing it, you have a plan, right? But you don't write the whole story. Like you've mentioned, you kind of, you have a beginning, you have an end, and you have some points you want to hit in the middle. But we've learned to not try and have that middle part set out very rigidly, because players do player things.
Right.
And I don't know how you write that necessarily. You know, not saying that there haven't been some very good, probably narrative heavy games. I'm sure some of the long-term Cthulhu campaigns or like the Enemy Within for Warhammer has a lot of heavy narrative elements to it. Not having read them, I can't say that I know that for a fact, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Plus, a crawl type adventure is, what are you going to say? You've probably got, at least at some level, you've got more people, more beginnerish people looking to buy pre-made adventures, and that's also easier for them to run it. You know what I mean? So you're going right to sell more, and let's be honest, if something is being published, the goal is typically to sell as many of it as you can. So if you're, you know, selling to a larger sample size, you can theoretically move more copies.
Yeah, no, and I get the logistics of it. It's easier to package, easier to sell, easier to put in a book and narrate to someone. Whereas, like you said,
a narrative is
a narrative heavy. Yes, sorry, my brain just walked off for a second.
But yeah, a narrative is basically a novel.
Right, exactly. And I wonder if that's why some of all of our opinions of dungeon crawls are the way they are, because that's what a lot of published material is. We've, you know, at least the majority of us that talk on this subject have read a lot of pre-written stuff. And a lot of that stuff, it's like sorting through the chaff for the grain, right? Like you're looking to find, is this going to be good? Or is this going to be good? Or is this going to be good? And so you're like weeding out, you know, is this a dungeon crawl? Oh, it is. Oh, it's going to go. And so that's part of the like trepidation, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting. It's a really interesting concept. I don't know. I keep losing my train of thought today.
That's all right. You want to maybe take a little while and maybe go down some rabbit trails on maybe ways to use a dungeon crawl and either disguise it or like make it more interesting and more fun. I mean, like, because, and again, this is, you know, a point that got brought up, but all heists, regardless of genre, are effectively dungeon crawls.
Right. Well, in a way, but in another way, how do I put it? In a way, yes. But on the same token, a heist, you're trying to sneak in, sneak out. At its core, most dungeon crawls, you're busting down the doors and not being sneaky in any way, unless there's a reason for it. And I think a lot of times there isn't reason to be sneaky, especially in something like 5th edition, where you know that I'll just take on anything that comes at me. If I alert this whole dungeon right here and I fight them in this hallway, oh well, then I don't have to fight anything else. And yeah, there's smash and grab heists, but for the most part, when you're telling a heist story, when your players are running a heist story, they're not going for that smash and grab. They're going for the, we want to figure out a way in, we want to get the thing, we want to leave. Unless it's you and a handful of other people that are like, oh, well, we're going to knock the thing off the pedestal and then try and figure out a way out the door.
Well, but I think that goes to, you know, what I was saying is, how can we take a quote unquote dungeon crawl and make it more interesting? Do you, can you make it a thing where, you know, stealth becomes the objective of it's better to sneak through as much as you can, you know, or do you do some sort of timer, you know, to make it so it becomes a speed run, which again, that's going to get old if you do it over and over again.
All the time.
But it adds a different element to, you know, we need to get in, get out. Hold on just a minute. All right, I'm back. You know, like I was saying, can you, you know, add an element of a timer or something where you need to get in and out quickly, and so you're not going to, you know, go through every room. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wonder how can you take a dungeon crawl and make it fun in a different way. You know, it got mentioned too. Do you do a session or two of, and this actually came off the heist discussion where, you know, a heist typically in a lot of games, you have a session or two that is planning the heist. Well, do you do in your fantasy game, do you have a segment where your players, your character, you know, your player characters are trying to do research about the dungeon? You know, I don't know.
I don't usually see that, but I mean, that could add a cool twist, change the approach in which they're doing a dungeon, change the way they look at it. I mean, it's all things to make this better, right? It's all things to make the whole situation better.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a wrong way. I don't think there's a wrong way. Like, if somebody just doesn't like dungeon crawls, then they're going to like dungeon crawls. And there's nothing you can do to change their mind. But if you're looking for a way to make dungeon crawls more interesting, then yeah, absolutely. You do that. You can do just all kinds of stuff. You know, all kinds of different, like you said, timer, treating it like a heist, doing planning before you go into a dungeon crawl. You do all kinds of stuff.
Well, I think too, and we've all played those classic dungeon crawls where when you think about it, it makes no damn sense, right? Like, there's just random stuff down here. Well, you know, think of it when if you're writing this for your table, right? Make it somehow have a theme, you know, what lives there? You know, what does what they do look like? You know what I mean? Like, an old underground dungeon that's inhabited by goblins, is it going to look the same as one that's inhabited by bugbears? You know, and I'm just pulling monsters out of blue, but you know what I'm saying? Or a dungeon that's the lair of some secret cult, right? You know, like, I think the kill monster get loot style of dungeon is, it's been done a lot. And I think if you can add something to it, you know, be it a theme, you know, timers, you know, make it a more than just go in and get stuff. I think that helps. And puzzles and traps are another thing. And I get that they're a classic part, but, you know, they also smacked me of testing the player, not the character. You know what I mean? And that is something that isn't as well received anymore. I don't know if that's the right terminology, but like, I'm not saying I don't want to solve things as Steve when I'm playing a game, but it could be you know, if you give me a logic puzzle or a riddle in game, Steve is the one solving that, not whatever my character's name is.
Right. Right. Exactly. No, and I get that. I think that's one of those things where, yeah, dungeon crawls are very much character puzzles, and heists are very much character and player puzzles. And it's interesting. I mean, it really, really is.
You know, like, I don't know. I haven't, well, but like, the thing is too, is right. Like, I think too, when we say dungeon crawl, we think, you know, well, literally a dungeon. Well, you know, it's been pointed out that Die Hard is a dungeon crawl. The Running Man, the 2/3 of the movie is basically a dungeon crawl.
I mean, it's true in a way. I mean, it's true that Die Hard is a dungeon crawl, and it's true that The Running Man is, and those are all true things. That's not necessarily, there's nothing incorrect about that statement. And it, again, it goes back to the, not all dungeon crawls are bad, but a lot of the ones I've encountered aren't great.
Mm-hmm. No, like I said, I was just, you know, trying to think around ways that maybe, you know, you can, like I said, spice it up and make it more than just what everyone kind of thinks of and so many of us kind of roll our eyes at. You know, do you find something in the dungeon that enhances narrative elements to the story? You know, you're clearing this dungeon in your game, right? But maybe you find you know, a mosaic on the wall that depicts something that is very different than, what do you want to say, commonly known history. Or you find a book of historical accounts of things that aren't the same versions of the stories that, you know, your characters all grew up with. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's the answer for everything, but I feel like you could use a dungeon in that regard. Like, you know, is it a historical place? And if it is, there's the potential to place doubt into your player characters' minds of, you know, how true is everything they think they know.
I think so. And challenging what they know and challenging what they don't know. And those are all things that you can do that, you know, I like to play with time manipulation when people enter a dungeon, right? Mm-hmm. You go into a dungeon crawl, you think you're there for a couple hours, you were there for a couple days. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I like to mess with perceptions, and it's all things that, like, again, I don't think dungeon crawls are all bad. I think there's ways to make them better. And I think doing things to make dungeon crawls better is one of the things that distinguishes you as a GM. Because if I play with you, or I played with a bunch of other people, and then I come and play in your game, and you do dungeon crawls completely different from any way I've ever seen it, I'm going to go back and be like, oh man, I just played with Steve. Steve does dungeon crawls this way. He does all these cool things. All this stuff happened while we were crawling the dungeon. The dungeon felt like it kept changing. Like, that's another thing, is that, like, you know, we often think of these dungeon crawls as like a labyrinth, like a set puzzle. Why don't you move? Like, if your players aren't actively, this is an old school thing, but if your players aren't actively mapping, why would they know, like, they, unless they have a map or are actively mapping their way, maybe a left is a right. Maybe you have them do more adventuring, you know, type checks, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is your survival or your navigations checks. And, you know, they make a left when they should have made a right. And this room isn't familiar. They're trying to find their way out. You know what I mean? Like, it's
right.
There's things to do to make it interesting that aren't just, oh, we'll add some more monsters, or, oh, we'll make it harder, or, oh, we'll do this, do that, do the other thing.
Well, but I think too, right? Like, maybe don't always use a dungeon as a go in and come back out. Maybe use it as a through, like Moria, you know, for Tolkien.
Or it doesn't have to be a dungeon per se. Cities, yeah. You know, you can tell a stuck in suburbia type story with a dungeon crawl.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, you're outside, it's not in a dark, crazy place, you can still, you know, you can still confuse and tell all kinds of interesting stories.
Right.
Where, you know, we got lost in downtown and we got in all kinds of fights and, you know, it's a dungeon crawl, but it's not. It's in disguise. It's incognito.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I hadn't thought about that, but like, you're right. And then the ability to kind of get lost in the maze and, well, like a movie that we both like, Gone in 60 Seconds, the sequence where Toby gets shot.
Yeah.
You know, when I forget what the line is, but I'm stuck in suburban hell or something like that.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, like, how do you get out of this neighborhood? And some of these residential neighborhoods are like, they're just a maze of winding, curving streets. And it really, you could easily get lost in them.
There isn't a way out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think there's ways to do dungeon crawls and make them better. And I think there's ways to not do dungeon crawls. And there's ways that have been overdone and haven't been done enough. You know, it's all about experimentation at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about doing what works for you, doing what your players like, you know, just doing different things, trying different things.
Well, and I think too, right? Okay, maybe you try it and it doesn't really work, you know, or doesn't work like you planned it. But at the end, if you tried something new, A, you learned something, either something you can reuse or something not to try again. But also, you've given your players, your table, a different experience in some way, which I think what I hear a lot, to distill a lot of these comments down, that I hear the complaints about dungeon crawls, is they're all the same in the end. Well, if you try something different, probably not going to be the same.
Yeah, yeah. Trying something different means that you're doing something different, and it shouldn't be the same as what's come before.
This is true. Very profound.
No. I can be at times. But, well, I think I've just about run out of thoughts on this. Do you have any final thoughts before we move to the week?
No, I think I'm good.
All right.
So, game of the week.
Game of the week.
Game of the week. Game of the week.
I can kick things off.
All right. I'll let you kick things off then.
I have a game that was added today. It's Pay What You Want. It's called Phantasmagoria.
Okay.
It is a little like 20 page horror RPG.
Okay.
Throwing it up in the green room now. It's actually not 20 pages. It is 10 pages.
Aha.
It's a Theater of Mind D20 roll at or under horror RPG. They say it's perfect for around a campfire. You choose from 7 classes: Aberrant, Cleric, Detective, Doctor, Fighter, Hunter, and Mundane. Class abilities are open-ended. Rules of the game are clear and concise, allowing the GM to decide how abilities work or create new abilities if desired. And it's got an interesting sanity / adrenaline mechanics. So as you lose your sanity, you gain more adrenaline. And that can add an interesting level of chaos to the whole thing. I was reading over it a little bit. It seems really neat. Like, it seems like a really cool 10-page horror game that could be used for a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we've had a lot of fun with some of these lighter games.
Well, and this one isn't necessarily light in tone either.
No.
It is just lighter in rules and pieces. So I don't know. It definitely seems interesting to me. The cover is very cool. I think that's a really neat piece of art. But yeah, that is Phantasmagoria.
It's all
uploaded
right
today, May 1st. So
I have one. It's actually been up for quite a while. Well, no, wait, what is today? May, March. So it's been up for about a month. Oh yeah, I need to hit return on the link and then you can see it. It's a game called The Eternal Grind Cafe. And I will say, the listing on DriveThru is not the greatest. If you click the preview, though, it explains it a lot more. So this is a game that has only one class and yet all the classes.
Right.
So what this is a game where you can literally take, it's intended for you to take your character from whatever game. You and your friends take your favorite characters from whatever game, and to read the blurb, your hubris has angered the gods, and to teach you a lesson in humility, they have sent you to hell. And hell is a minimum wage job in a tip-based industry. You are baristas in a coffee shop in hell. And so the whole point of the game is it actually works very similar to Lasers and Feelings. In fact, I think that's where the main mechanic came from. It's actually published by the same guy. He's not the writer, but he's the publisher, the guy that did Hypertellurians.
Okay.
But like looking at the preview, this is, it's pretty, it's kind of silly, but it looks like it really could be a lot of fun. Because like to start the thing, it has a D6 table that you roll on. So at the start of the day, basically it's the coffee machine malfunction table. And so your players have to figure out and then deal with the problems of the coffee machine. One of which, and again, I'm just reading from the sample here. The coffee machine is actually operated on the inside by little imps who will start complaining and go on strike mid-game. Union talks or strike breakers may be needed at some point.
That's funny.
Right. And it's stuff like this. And so the way this kind of all works, right, you have two skills, much like you would in Lasers and Feelings. You have barista skills and you have character skills. And you have to try and not let either of them get all the way to 6, but you want to roll under them on a D6, depending on what it is you want to do. And you're trying to earn tips from your customers, which who knows who comes to the, you know, coffee shop in hell, but whatever. And as you get tips in dice, it could be a D4, it could be a D6, could be a whatever. At the end of the session, or I think it's when the health inspector shows up at lunch rush, you roll the collection of dice that is the tips, and you're trying, it takes 20 points per character to send them back to their original realm. So the goal is to get enough tips to get back to the game world you came from. It also, and I love this, I mentioned if your stats go too high, it's basically if they get to a 6, you, and again, I'll read from the preview. If either stat hits 6, you become unhinged and either go on a murderous rampage or become a soulless work drone. To prevent this, the player can describe a social media post where their character complains about their job and move their barista skill 1 down, or tell a flashback of their character's epic deeds and move the character skill 1 lower. This can be done at any time. So like I said, this seems like a really neat little fun game. It's on drive-through. I think it's like $10, 20 some pages. 924 to be precise. But I just kind of find the concept of running a coffee shop in hell is a fun little interlude. And you could even do this as like a break in your current campaign, right? Because it's designed for you to bring your character from whatever.
Yeah, easily do that as you know, a break from your campaign.
The art and layout in this is neat too. I don't know if you opened the preview when we're looking at it, but it's definitely like its own thing.
Yeah, it's really neat. I think it's a really cool thing. But
that's called the Eternal Grind Cafe.
Yep. And with all that being said, as always, links to everything are in the show notes. Discord, Patreon, it's down there as well. Discord, come join us and yell at us. Patreon, come join us and throw us a couple bucks if you can. We're going to start intersplicing. I think you started uploading Oblivion War between episodes, as I think you've heard. So that's something to look forward to, a little bit more actual play content from us. And as always, we want to remind everyone to be kind to one another and get out there and play some RPGs.
Yep. Take care, y'all.
Intro and outro music by the band 12 Noon. You can email us at meandsteverpg@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at andrpgs. Find us on Facebook at meandsteverpgpodcast. On Discord at meandsteverpgs. And as always, all of these links are in the show notes. Thank you, and be kind to one another.
cigar.
Cigar, $20, dog. You got to go down the street to the store and buy that.